had grown up going to church. When he was younger, he went to youth group, in his family, he went to church. But then he went to college, and he kind of drifted away from church, kind of drifted away from the Lord. But he eventually got married and began to start his career, and he still believed in God, okay? But he just didn't really have time for God. I mean, he had a job that he loved. He was enjoying it. It wasn't a fancy job, wasn't a high-paying job, but it was his job, and he enjoyed it. And, you know, he kind of had this dream like so many of us have. You know, he wanted to be able to kind of achieve those dreams of buying a house, of having a nice vehicle that runs, of being able to live comfortably, right? Kind of that American dream we often think about. But he also came to find out that that takes a lot of work. And so he had to work quite a bit. And then on the weekends, when the weekends came, he maybe had the attitude that some of us have. He says, you know what? I just want to relax. I just want to let the stress go away, the stresses of work and life. I just need to relax on the weekends. And that's kind of what he and his family did. Now, Trevor and his wife, they thought about church, but you know, they had so many other things that were going on that kind of pushed it to the back burner. They went once in a great while, you know, Christmas and Easter, those kind of things. But as he was working, he had a friend that he worked with and got to know pretty good. Actually, became pretty good family friends. His name was Josh. And Josh was a strong Christian. And he followed the Lord. And Trevor really respected Josh, saw something in him that, you know, he kind of thought, you know, how does he handle the stresses of life? He seems to be able to just kind of go with the flow and be able to, he kind of talks about God and how God helps him. But one day they were having lunch. And Josh said, can we talk about something? So they began to talk. He kind of wanted to challenge him. He said, I know you grew up going to church, and you ever thought about going back? You ever thought about your relationship with God? He said, you know, God has blessed you, right? He's blessed you with a great job and a family that you love. And he said, you know, it's good to work. It's good to provide for your family, but I think there's something more important. I think there's something more important. There's something I think you need to focus on. It's not just your work. It's God. And he said, you know, I think you're choosing good over better. You're choosing good over better. You know, you need something that's more important, something that's certainly influenced my life, which is a deep relationship with Christ, the one who gave you your job, the one who gave you your family. And so they talked. And, you know, Trevor, as he left that, he was kind of convicted. He goes, you know, he's thinking, I do need to change. He was convicted, realized that he kind of strayed quite a bit, that he had been distracted by so many other things. And so he began to make different choices. He began to come back to God, decided to go and take his family to church. And as he listened, as he learned from Jesus, as he began to read his Bible, as he began to, as I said, come to church, Trevor was beginning to be changed. And he began to honor God at his work. He began to honor God in his family as well as his entire life. And it was through that friendship with Josh that Trevor came back to God. There's another woman. Her name is Jennifer. Jennifer had the dream of being a mom and a great wife ever since she was young. I mean, that's what she wanted to do. Kind of actually listening to Don's story, very similar to Don. She just wanted to be a mom, you know, and a wife. And so she was blessed. She prayed for that, and it happened. She had a great husband, got married. She had two kids. Life was good. And she had a relationship with God, and actually kind of still felt she had a relationship with the Lord, but her passion really was about being a mom and wife. That came first, even in front of her relationship with God. God had answered her prayer for a family, and she began to realize that she had kind of put them in front of God. She knew that she was meant to be a mom, but as she did that, she realized that so many things began to distract her. So many things caused her worry as she thought about her kids. And all these things began to kind of overwhelm her of who she was. And she didn't have the peace that she really wanted to have, that she saw even other people have. And she was so busy with work and with everything, with the kids and with her husband, that really she ultimately kind of lost her purpose. That kind of was her purpose of being a mom, but it actually started kind of overwhelming her. She knew inside there was something better. And she came to realize that the peace and purpose she was looking for would only come through her relationship with God that she had before. And so we see here Jennifer as well renewed her relationship with God. She realized, you know, all these things she was hoping would only happen when Jesus comes first. When we put Jesus first. Maybe those stories relate to you. Those are real people, real stories. Some of them maybe even relate directly to you, and it's kind of your story. But, you know, as we continue in this series, we have two more messages this week and next on this series. We're going to look at two women this morning together. Some of you have heard of them. They're two women that have kind of the same things going on in their mind that we just saw with Trevor and with Jennifer. They both dealt with business and the demands of life. Those things that can distract us and detract from what's most important. And so this morning, as we meet these two ladies named Martha and Mary, we're going to see that they've dealt with some things in their life and came to realize, you know, that they too needed to see that Jesus needs to come first. So these two women, some of you know some about them, some maybe don't know anything about it, but they were sisters, Martha and Mary. They actually had a brother as well, a younger brother named Lazarus. You've maybe heard his name. And they actually all lived together. They were all single, and they lived together in a small town. I don't know if it's small, but in a town called Bethany, which is actually just 2 miles away from Jerusalem, really close. It was actually a perfect place for Jesus to come. He often went through this place. Now, Martha and Mary were pretty different, as you're going to see in just a moment. They're a fascinating pair. They were different, and yet they had one thing that definitely was alike. One vital aspect that was very similar, and that was both of them had a desire to know Jesus. They had a love and a devotion for Jesus. We see them, that they were close friends with Jesus. Matter of fact, in John 11:5, it talks about Jesus' kind of relationship with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and it says this, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." You see, Jesus often went to their home, especially when he was going to Jerusalem, going to the temple, going to the different holidays that they had there. And he would go there, and he had met them. It doesn't tell us how he knows them, but he has this deep personal relationship with each of them. And they invite him into their home, and the disciples as well. We see they open their hearts and their homes to him. And really, this is the thing that they most had in common, is they had a heart for wanting to know and coming to know Jesus. Their hearts were open. Their desire was to see Jesus. And as you'll see later, to see him for who he was. They believed that he was the Messiah. But they came to soon believe that he was even more than that. Jesus was actually, besides his disciples, these three are probably his closest friends that he hung out with a lot. And he could just be himself, as we're going to see. There's a number of passages that talk about Martha and Mary together. We're just going to look at two this morning. The first one is in John 12. So, you have a Bible, encourage you to turn there, John 12, and let me read verses 1 through 8. John 12, 1 through 8, it says this. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany. Remember, he's coming, Passover's in Jerusalem, right? That's where everybody goes. So he's coming there, and he arrives at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. That's weird. I didn't say that there. That's my commentary. And the house, I don't know why he didn't say that, but it is. And the house was filled with this fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected and said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? I mean, it's worth a year's wages." Now, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As the keeper of the money bag, he used it to help himself to whatever was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. It was meant that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." We see here in Mary what many have called, they say Mary is a true worshiper. As she comes to the spot, and this kind of shows in another passage we'll see as well, she was this true worshiper. She just had this heart to worship Jesus, to get to know him. This actually is the second time that Jesus had a woman wash his feet with perfume and their hair. Did you know that? Some people mix it up. They think it's the same story. It's not. There was actually a woman quite a time earlier that had come, she was actually described simply as a sinful woman who Jesus had forgiven. And because of that forgiveness, because of what he did, it says that she also poured perfume on his feet and washed his feet. So it's interesting here. Mary knew of this story. Was she there? I don't know, but the story had been told, obviously. People knew about it. And Mary purposely goes, in a sense, she reenacts what this other woman did. Why? She was, I believe, most people believe, she does this because she wants to show her gratitude, her love for who Jesus is and for what he has done for her and her family. Okay, right now, this is after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Okay? And so she wants to show this. And as she does this, basically shows this amazing act of sacrificial worship. It's a sacrificial worship. Why do I say that? Well, you see, there's this alabaster jar there. There's this jar of precious and costly perfume. Now, this perfume wasn't just something nice to have, okay? This was, as we see, it was very expensive. Matter of fact, it was her future. This jar, I believe, was her future in one way or another. What do I mean? Well, many people believe it was probably her dowry that was given to her by her parents. This expensive, it would be something every Jewish girl, every Jewish woman, they wanted to be married. They wanted a family. And I'm sure she was waiting and praying for that as well. She was single along with her sister. And this was probably her dowry that would be offered to her future husband's family. But if not that, it certainly was her life savings, wasn't it? It was kind of her nest egg. If she didn't get married, then she certainly would need that to help support herself. So when she pours this out on Jesus' feet, it is certainly an act of sacrifice. It's a sacrificial worship. Think about that. What she was, in a sense, what we would say, what she was giving up. What she would say is she was giving to the Lord. I don't know about you, but it's hard to be sacrificial in much of anything in our way because we have so much, right? Most of us here have so much. And so it's hard to be sacrificial. And yet sometimes God calls us to do that. It's interesting, there was a mom who was trying to teach her kids about sacrifice and just about loving others. And she was telling them about these orphan children that were in their community. And she said, you know, these poor children, they don't have a mother or a father. They don't even have an aunt or an uncle. What do you think you kids could do to help them? Is there something maybe you could do to help them? What would you give to them? Well, the kids got together and they thought about this and they discussed this among themselves. They announced their decision and she said, did you think about something? They said, yes, we want to give them Aunt Betty over there. I don't think that was her favorite aunt either. Not so much sacrifice, was it? Mary's worship was sacrificial in a very real way. Why? Well, because she put Jesus first. Because she loved the Lord for who he was, for what he had done for her. And I think in a way, she, above the disciples, was, many people believe, she kind of understood what Jesus was getting ready to do. He was coming to there for Passover. This is right before the cross. And he had made it very clear. He said, I am going there to die. Now, his disciples didn't get it, but many believe Mary did as she comes and she puts this perfume, this anointing oil on his feet. We see here a worshiper in Mary. We're going to talk more about that here in a few moments. You know, think about our own lives. How do we worship God? Do we sacrificially worship God? You know, we come on Sunday mornings, that's important. And you know what? I think that's an act of sacrifice for many of you. It is. I mean, there's so many other things that you could be doing. There's so many other things that some of your friends and family, maybe some people that you invited this morning that aren't here, they're doing. But you have sacrificed some of those things. You see, you know what? I'm going to come to church. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to learn about him. And yet it's not just Sunday morning, is it? We've talked about that over and over. Church isn't just about Sunday mornings, as important as it is. It's about everything that we offer to God. We offer our lives to him. Mary was a worshiper. We see that sacrifice. So as you look at that, don't think, oh, that's just, you know, a little bottle of perfume. You know, no, this was expensive. This was something that was very precious to her. Now Martha loved Jesus as well. And we're going to see in her, she's a little bit different than her sister. She was kind of one of those, she was devoted to service. She was one of those servants. Martha and Mary, as I think I mentioned earlier, they're young, okay? So don't think of them as older. They're probably in their 20s, okay? They're single. And we see here that Martha is always mentioned first. Matter of fact, it also says that Martha is the one that owns the home, not Lazarus, not Mary. She's the firstborn, okay? Type A, right? So how many firstborns here? I'm one of them. How many firstborns? Okay. Maybe. How many secondborns? Where's the seconds? Any seconds? Okay, any thirdborns? Let's see the thirds. Oh, okay. Any fourth? Let's see if we got. Wow, okay. I'm not going any higher. If you're fourth or above, that's you. Actually, we have a lot of thirdborns here. That'll be interesting. You have to talk to Derek about what that means. But anyway, we see here Martha's the firstborn, and we see something unique about her. Turn, if you have your Bibles, turn actually to Luke. It's the back of the book, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to start verse 38. We'll get to 42 in a minute. Let's just start. In verse 38, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Okay? So we're kind of going backwards, just to let you know. This is actually before Lazarus had died. Okay? The one we just went to was after he had been risen. This is before, okay? It's earlier. But we see in this passage, as well as other passages, such as John 11, that Martha was a very hospitable person. Okay? She had a heart. A servant heart for other people. And it says, open her home to Jesus and the disciples. Now, I don't know how many of you like to open your home to just one person, but then let's just add another 12 to it, and they're all men, you know? And she opens her home not just once, but numerous times to them. She was using her gifts, I believe, of hospitality and service, and she was good at it. She was good. And she wanted to honor, she wanted to serve Jesus in this way and his disciples. And it's a great example of how we're called to use our gifts, right? And have a servant heart. Listen to, if you want to turn there, you can, if you can do it quickly, but Romans 12, 5 through 8. But let me read Romans 12. It talks about here, God, how he gives us different gifts, different talents. It says this, verse 5. So in Christ, we who are many form one body. He gives this example of the body, right? Hands and feet and eyes and ears. We're all different. Each member belongs to one another. We're a church. We belong to one another. He says, but we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a person's gift is prophesying or teaching, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let them teach. If it's encouraging, let them encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others. If you're a generous person that way, let him give generously. If it's in leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And there's many more. He just gives an example. Each one of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, God has blessed you and given you these different spiritual gifts. And he gives us talents as well. But spiritual gifts are something that are specifically used by the Holy Spirit to touch people's lives. And he uses us. For some, it's the gift of encouragement. You know, some of you have that gift. Maybe there's a few in here that have that gift of encouragement. You just are naturally encouraging other people. Keep doing that. You know, for others of you, it's teaching, okay? Or maybe it's working and helping with children or youth. That's a great gift. Maybe it's service, okay? My wife always says she has the gift of service. Here's my husband, Jim. He'll go and serve you. But I'm not sure how it works, but I do the work sometimes. As long as it's not putting in a new carburetor or something like that, let's leave that to my wife. But, you know, there's all kinds of different things. I have been so blessed, encouraged, and just, you know, as a church we should be, as this fall we've shared of different needs that are out there. And to see so many people step up to help in the nursery or to help certainly with Kingdom Kids or our children's ministry, to see people step up with a setup team. We have some new people at setup team or even on the soundboard. These different things, so many things that we're called to serve. What a joy to see that. You know, that's one of our core values. That's one of the things that God calls us to do is to serve one another. And here's the encouragement. I think Dawn already stole my sermon earlier. She preached it pretty much. But, you know, is that we're all called to use our gifts to discover what those are. You don't just know it necessarily. You got to discover that and find. So if you're not involved in an area of ministry, I encourage you to try something out. Look for an area that you think that you might do it. You try it and it says, no, that's not it. Then go, you know, find something else. But God does call us all to have a servant heart and to serve. And Martha was a conscientious and considerate hostess. She had some great, admirable traits. She served others. There was work to be done, and she was going to do it. And as she does this, as she comes, and we're going to see here the rest of the passage, she comes initially with a great servant heart, okay, a desire to serve Jesus and his disciples. So Jesus comes to Martha's home, and he made himself at home, which was great. He could come there. You guys have places like that? I hope so. We have a number of friends. We can just go into their house, and we hope our house is like that. I mean, sometimes I think it is, because sometimes we have people, and they just one knock, and they're in, and that's fine, because we know, you know, this is our home's their home. And that's kind of what Jesus had with Martha. And so they come here, and Jesus comes in, and he kind of sits down, and he begins talking and just teaching some truths to his disciples and to anybody that's there. So let's pick up the story. I read verse 38, but let's go back to Luke. Luke 11 and 38 to 42. Again, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to the village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, she said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha. I always love this word. Martha, Martha. I don't know if there's, where's that? There's some TV show. Marsha, Marsha. Thank you. It's so close. Martha, Marsha, Marsha, Martha, Martha. So, you know, Jesus is like, come on. You're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So we see here a conflict between two sisters. Boom, that's never happened in your household. Right, Debbie? Right, Mel? Who else has two girls? Okay? Surprise, a conflict between sisters, right? We see here Mary's instinct is to go and to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen. She's focused on worship, right? We kind of talked about her earlier. Martha is hardworking, focused on the final preparations, okay? And she was doing what she was, you know, wanted to do. That was her servant heart. And she started out well. Matter of fact, probably when Jesus came there, you see, she had already been making preparations. I mean, Jesus always told people when he was coming, okay? So it wasn't like it was a surprise. And most likely, I believe, that, you know, she had made the preparations. Everything was pretty much ready for them. There were other things that had to be done the last minute. But except for the finishing touches, the meals were done right as Jesus arrived. The key, it's interesting, we know this. Why? Because of what Jesus says. Actually, it's what Luke says here first. As he writes, he says, Martha was what? Distracted. Martha was distracted. That word distracted, it literally means over-occupied by a thing. Many of us are like that. I am so like a Martha. I get so distracted by things, or I get so consumed, right, on one thing that I don't see the bigger picture sometimes. The thing that's really important. We become distracted in doing good things, okay? See, Martha realizes Mary's not there. Where's Mary? I thought she was going to help me. And she gets upset. How many wives and moms can relate to Martha? Yeah? There's so many tasks that keep us busy, whether it's buying groceries or cleaning the house, right? Whether it's laundry or dishes, taking your kids to activities, teaching and disciplining your kids. I mean, the list goes on, and it can get overwhelming. And that's on top of many of you who work outside the house and you have a job and you still got those other things that you're doing. And soon it can become overwhelming. It can become really your identity that all you do is work. That's maybe how you see yourself. Well, I just keep the house running, keep it going. And it's not just for women as well. Men obviously have responsibilities and tasks that go many times above our workload. And these things, listen to me, these things are not bad, okay? I'm not saying these things are bad, that we should get rid of them, or get rid of our kids. Or some, you know, they grow up hopefully and leave, but you know. They're actually good things. They're good things. The problem for Martha and for many of us is we allow the good things to take away from the best or the better things. We can so easily become distracted And like Martha, it can cause us to worry, right? It can cause us to become upset. Kind of reminds me of what even the story we heard earlier of Trevor and Jennifer and their priorities initially. Listen to verse 41 again. It says this, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but the only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen it, and it won't be taken away from her." You know, the good things in life that we get to enjoy, our family, our job, the different recreation things we enjoy, our sports, our involvement in the community, even serving here in the church, those things can, those things can, if we allow them, distract us from our relationship with Jesus. When those things take priority, when those things cause us to worry and become upset, they begin to consume us. And we get easily distracted, right? Or we get distracted from the priorities that God has for us, and we can get upset with those around us. We can get upset with even God. And we can get distracted like Martha, and we forget that Jesus needs to come first. When Jesus comes first, a lot of those other things can work themselves out. We can see, like Martha, we can unfortunately become distracted. See, I think if she had actually seen Mary, if she had stopped instead of just coming out to Jesus, and she had come and looked to see what Mary was doing, to see the depth of kind of understanding and love that she had for Jesus, it might have changed her attitude. Because there's a time for many things. There's a time for working, right? There's a time for playing. There's a time for really a lot of things. But we see from Mary that she chose at this moment, she realized this was the most important thing to do, was to spend time with Jesus. Was to the priority of worship, even over serving him, all right? Martha was serving Jesus, but Mary said there's something even more important than serving Jesus, that's being with him, being in a relationship with him. What Martha was doing and expecting Mary to do was good, but it wasn't the best. Jesus said at that moment, Mary has chosen what is best. Right? She's chosen what is better, what is best. And that time, it was to worship Jesus. It was to listen to Jesus. It was to learn from him. Because he wasn't there all the time, right? Worship. It's interesting. She was discovering this, Mary was, this devotion to Jesus. And worship was putting him first. What about our lives, you know? Worship. In other words, spending time with Jesus ultimately should take priority over so many other things. It should take priority over our work, over our sports, over our entertainment, even over our most precious relationships. It doesn't mean that those things are not important. It means that Jesus must always come first in those things. And those things can become the good things that they need to be when we have our priorities right, when Jesus comes first. Mary's heart, her worship was a far greater gift than what Martha was giving, right? Martha was giving a food and a great setting for a dinner, which is great. But Mary, at that moment, what was most important was to spend time with him. And that's where we need to start in our relationships, is to make sure we put spending time with Jesus at the top, right? See, God desires, as a matter of fact, he commands us to worship him. Okay? Jesus said the greatest command is what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Christ found such a worshiper in Mary. So here's the question. Does that describe you more and more? That you're seeking to worship, to love God with all your heart? Or if you're honest, is it more like Martha, where yes, you know Jesus and yes, you love him, but really it's more about doing all the things and kind of not really spending time with him? Jesus loved Martha, and he confronted her. He loved her enough to confront her. You know what? Jesus loves us enough to confront us. And maybe this morning, he might confront you in your spirit of saying, are you spending time with me? Or are you so busy doing all these other things that you don't have time for me? What's really important? We need to choose the better thing, the best thing, the one thing. So what's really important in life? You know, there's a... That's kind of good. I couldn't download this video, and if I did, it wouldn't work today anyway. But anyway, have you seen the movie City Slickers? You remember the movie? How many of you remember? Just curious. Remember the movie City Slickers? Some of you are too young to remember it. But it's with Billy Crystal. Okay, they're out on a cattle drive, and he's out on this with Curly, who's the tough cowboy played by Jack Palance. And Curly is there, and he's giving him some advice, and he says, "Do you know what the secret to life is?" He holds up one finger. "This." Mitch, Billy Crystal says, "Your finger?" "No. One thing. Just one thing. You stick to that, and the rest don't mean nothing." "But what's the one thing?" "Well, that's what you have to find out." And they continue to ride off. Well, it's interesting. You know what? Jesus doesn't leave us guessing. Curly left him guessing. You know, basically the thing was, well, you figure out what's most important to you, and that's what's most. Jesus tells us what's most important. Okay? He doesn't leave us guessing. He says, one thing is needed. What is that? Knowing Jesus. That's the most important. Building a relationship with him. That's what's most important. That's what our life is to be about. All that Jesus has done for us, right? Who he is. That he died on the cross. That he rose from the dead. That he forgives our sins. That he gives us life. And all that, not just so we can go to heaven someday, but so we can know him now. Martha had put too much importance on her own activity and not enough on sitting quietly before God. Martha was distracted. She was worried. She was upset. She didn't take the time to enjoy and to listen and to be with Jesus and listen to what he was saying. I mean, these were some important things that he was saying to them. Martha's faith was real, okay? Don't hear that. Her faith is real, okay? She did love Jesus. She just, like many of you, she just got distracted. She got distracted. She was neglecting the most important thing, busying herself with activity. She was missing out on the best, which is a deepening relationship with the Lord. A deepening relationship. What does that look like? You might be asked that. Well, what does that look like to have a relationship with Jesus? I can't see him. Well, as we talk about often here, it comes down to, you know, just a number of things. And we know, first of all, is relationship takes communication. It's talking to God, right? Prayer. And listening to God. Listening through his spirit, listening through his word. You know, that's one of the reasons why I gave you some examples of the devotional books back there. Just to encourage you to think about it. Go look on that app. Okay, and there's, like, I was talking to Charlene during the break, and this app that I have, it's got literally hundreds, maybe thousands, I don't know, of different devotional things, of pretty much anything that you want, you know, marriage, parenting, prayer, whatever, reading through a book. That's why we're doing this new series starting the end of September and into October, November, of life-changing prayer. The most important thing we can do is a relationship with him. So we want to encourage each other. How can we grow in our prayer life? How can we grow in talking to God? So building our relationship with Jesus means spending some time alone with him. But it also happens with others, right? What was Mary doing? Mary was with the disciples. And there was others probably there as well. And so it's important to be together. That's why we come on Sunday mornings, to be together. Again, Dawn preached my sermon. She's right. She said, "I can't do it alone." I didn't tell her anything to say, by the way. But why does she know that? Because she's experienced, because she knows from experience and from God's word that we need each other, right? That's why we have our home groups. That's why we have different life groups and youth group, band of brothers and women's Bible studies to help each other. So I encourage you to maybe get involved in one of those. All of these encourage us to show that Jesus comes first. Martha was a noble and godly woman with a servant heart, and she grew in her worship. So I want to leave her on a positive note. I don't think, oh, Mary's up here and Martha's down here. Martha, after Jesus raised Lazarus, her brother, from the dead, right when he was coming, he was already dead. He's coming there, and she meets him, and he says, "Do you trust me? Do you believe in me? I'm the resurrection of life." And she says this, she proclaims this in John 11:27. She says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world." Martha had grown in her relationship with Jesus. How about you? Are you growing? Or are you kind of the same? Or are you maybe even declining your relationship? Are you growing in your relationship with him? Are you allowing him to speak to your heart? Remember where Remember who you are if you're a follower of Christ, right? You're a child of God. Open your heart. And think back to Trevor. Think back to Jennifer, who we looked at earlier, and the things that they struggle with, and realizing that that peace, that purpose, ultimately comes through a renewed relationship with God. And that's what God desires for each one of us this morning. Christ's heart for Mary and Martha, for you and for me, is that we use our gifts and talents, right? Martha gave us a great example of that. But even more importantly is not to become distracted by the good things. But I hope this week and throughout your life that you'll look for the best, that you'll sit at Jesus' feet in a sense, that you will worship him sacrificially, that you will grow in that relationship and worship of Jesus. We see here two ordinary women who, in my eyes, became extraordinary. Extraordinary women, because they learned an important lesson that we all do, and that is that Jesus needs to come first. Let's pray.